Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, November 18th, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're right in the middle of the two greatest chapters in the Word of God, defining grace giving. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, congratulations. You are the few that have passed the too much water test. And we made it a little more difficult for you because we have a lake out here. We had these great big tubs underneath where we thought the leak was. And I got here today and the lake was, they put the tub in the wrong place. So there was another lake. And we have neighbors out where we live, and they know exactly how much rain has fallen there. Over 2.5 inches have fallen out in our part of Las Vegas in from Saturday to today. Over 2.5 inches. Now, you've heard me say, rain is a blessing in the desert. And it is. It certainly is. Just that our old church from time to time has to be redone on the roof to make sure to stop all the leaks. But they can't came out. They came out today. The deacons are so on top of it. They said, get out here now and fix these leaks. So they came out. Debbie comes down to my office. She says, there looks like there's workers out there by the door. Workers. I said, well, tell them to come inside. So she told them to come inside. And they said, yeah, we were told to come here to, you have leaks in your church. I said, yes, we do, but you're not going to get up there. And he said, no, we're not going up there. Now, he says, just as we were pulling in, there was lightning bolts coming down on top of your church. We're not getting up there, no way. And I said, well, I didn't think that you would come out when it's raining. I would think you'd want to come out when the rain stops, you know. So I said, why don't you just, not to worry, we got tubs and we got blankets and we got towels and we'll just keep putting those down, but let's wait till the sun comes out. And then you can come and see what needs to be fixed on the roof. But anyway, no big deal. A few drops of water, let me tell you, that is a mosquito test, not a big test at all. Although, if you have a hard time walking, you got to go around by Cliff. And as Cliff came by, he goes, "Come on, I'll race you." You know? And I wasn't going to do that because then I'd have to pay him. He'd get the gold medal, see. So this is just a blessing in the desert, and enjoy it. Enjoy the rain. I love to hear the rain. Well, this is an article that will help define for you how far we are in apostasy and degeneracy in Client Nation USA. And we're the client nation of God right now. We are. But we are about to go out on the fifth cycle of national discipline. We are that far away of being removed as the client nation of God by the fifth cycle of national discipline. And this is, everything here is going on in the United States of America, our nation. It's called, the title is "The Heavy Stone" by Tom Gilbreth. An old question once again roils Christianity. Where do the Jews fit in God's plan? Well, the Bible's very clear. God's plan has a plan for Israel. They're not going to be destroyed. They're not going to be removed from planet Earth. God's plan is for the nation Israel, and there will be a remnant that will turn to Jesus Christ near the end of the tribulation, and the Jew, that remnant, will come in, and the whole world will be blessed by association with that remnant of Jewish people. And the ruler of planet Earth is a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity, the Son of David. But in our nation right now, we are a sick, sick nation. Are God's promises to Israel still valid? God's promises are 100% valid. Are prophetic mentions of Jerusalem and Israel just symbols now? For the last 77 years, these questions have centered on the reborn nation of Israel. Fox News, former Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson, entered the debate some time ago, but in recent months, he's gone scorched earth. He said, he's not even sure Hamas is actually a radical jihad organization. He said it seems like it's just a political organization. And Tucker Carlson, former on Fox News, he has taken to praising Sharia law, because countries who practice Sharia law have a rape rate of zero. He doesn't mention child brides. He doesn't mention that in those places women are afraid to report being raped, because the woman who reports rape is more likely to be punished than the perpetrator of the crime. In his recent interview, this is Tucker Carlson, former Fox News editor, In his recent interview with Nick Fuentes, Tucker proclaimed that those of us who believe God will keep his promises to Israel, listen, you are perpetrating Christian heresy. Well, we're perpetrating Christian heresy. Those of us who believe God will keep his promises to Israel are perpetrating Christian heresy. He said, we are mentally ill. We are suffering from a brain virus. Now, there you go. You want to know what my problem is? I'm suffering from a brain virus. But he seems to have no problem with Fuentes, a man who says Hitler was cool. And he calls himself a Stalin admirer. Fuentes might like Sharia law too. He says rape is not a big deal. And he says that the Holocaust didn't even happen. He says that Kanye West, an avowed Nazi and admirer of Adolf Hitler, should be the next president of the United States. And he wants the death penalty for all Jews. This is America. This is America today. Carlson did not confront Fuentes on these extremist positions. Instead, he repeatedly emphasized areas where he and Fuentes agree. Particularly, they agreed on the evils of Israel. The evils of Israel. I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. That's from the living and true God. When things like this characterize America, we come under judgment. We're that far away from the fifth cycle of national discipline. It makes me sick that this kind of thinking is in the United States of America. Oddly enough, the backlash to all of this seems to have been most harmful to the conservative Heritage Foundation and its president. The president of the Heritage Foundation is Kevin Roberts. When people called on Heritage to cut ties with Carlson, Roberts made an angry video defending the interview in no uncertain terms. And he called those who criticized Tucker Carlson a venomous coalition of bad actors. And he made the bizarre claim that criticizing Carlson was the same as policing the consciences of Christians. Conservatives across America condemned him and the Heritage Foundation. So he tried to walk it back. He told the Heritage Foundation staff meeting that the script had been written for him and that he simply read the words. Sounds like he's Joe Biden. He said, I didn't know much about this Fuentes guy. I still don't. He added, I actually don't have time to consume a lot of news. You talk about BS. Trying to cover your own patootie. Robert pointed out that under his leadership, Heritage has started something called Project Esther, which was meant to combat anti-Semitism. But after this video, several members of that team resigned. And then after his apology, even more of them quit. Charles Jacobs, a member of the Project Esther team, addressed Robert's ignorant excuse, saying, "If that is true, he's totally incompetent, and he should leave for that reason. And if it's not true, he is a total liar." Right now, both major U.S. political parties, both Republican and Democrat, have deep divides over the nation Israel. The Word of God warned us that such a time was coming in the world. It's here. Still, most of us can't help but be surprised to see it happening in our beloved country as we speak. And it's including in churches throughout America. That's absolutely true. Churches throughout America, they think God's plan for Israel is over. They think that now the church has replaced Israel. That's going on in churches all over America. Where does this ultimately come from? The ruler of planet Earth is Satan. He is trying to win the angelic conflict. And the way he's going full speed ahead to do it is to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. And you can see it. You can see it. And we're the client nation to God. You can see it all throughout the client nation to God, let alone all over planet earth. The current battles over Israel are minor foreshocks of a future earth-rattling event that is coming. It's called Armageddon. Already the world leaders plot together, saying, "Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more." But you know where that prophecy comes from? The Bible. Psalm 83:4. God says that's exactly the thinking of the world in the tribulation. The whole world to wipe out and destroy Israel from the face of the earth. But nothing will stop the plan of God. Now Satan said in Isaiah 14:14, "I will be like the Most High God." Well, no, he won't. He is not the Most High God. He is a creature. He's fallen. His destiny is the lake of fire. But he is doing his damnedest to win the angelic conflict. It's just that I never thought I would be alive to see our nation in such apostasy and such degeneracy as it is right now. But I do. I never thought I'd see it. I never thought I'd live to see it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the two greatest chapters in the Word of God on defining grace giving. And you're going to see it in these verses ahead. See that word right there? That's what grace giving is all about. You can sum it up in one word. Charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. That sums up grace giving right there. One word. It's grace, 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 grace. It starts in the soul of the believer. That soul of the believer who grows up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal love orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It starts when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. When you live by the divine power of God the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And when you live by the power of the powerful Word of God in your heart, the Word of God is alive and powerful. The problem is in this country, very few Christians have the powerful Word of God in their heart. There's the problem. And most Christians don't even want to be assembled in a local church where the powerful Word of God is taught. The details of life are way more important than the teaching of the powerful Word of God. And there lies the problem. We've got lots of Christians. The problem in America isn't, don't go pointing fingers at unbelievers, point your fingers at Christians, Christians. Christians out of fellowship with God. Christians living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. Christians living in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance. Interlocking systems of hatred. There lies the problem. The pivot is so small that all God can do is administer the fifth cycle of national discipline. Now we're still here, so there's hope, yes. I love to say that I see it, but I see more and more bad decisions on the part of believers than ever before. 2 Corinthians 8:16. We have Pastor Teacher Titus. Pastor Teacher Titus is the best of the best in the Apostle Paul's traveling seminary. And the Apostle Paul loved Titus. When the Apostle Paul needed a troubleshooter to go in and straighten out a situation such as in Corinth, Titus was his man. And Titus had maximum humility. Maximum respect for the authority of the Apostle Paul. Yes, Pastor Teacher Titus, he had the gift of Pastor Teacher, but the Apostle Paul had the gift of apostleship. He was the highest ranking spiritual authority. Paul. Not Titus. Paul was. So when Paul gave an order to Titus, Titus said, "Yes, sir. It's a done deal. I'll do it." And this is totally unique. Verse 16. Now thanks be to God, or now grace, charis, belongs to God. The one who gives the same earnestness, the same intensity of impersonal love on behalf of you, Corinthians, in the heart of Titus. Titus knows that this is an opportunity that happens once in a lifetime. Never again will Titus have the opportunity of being a key part in an administrative team. Titus' primary job and responsibility is that of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, studying and teaching God's Word. Pastor Teacher Titus has the greatest respect for the highest spiritual authority in the land at this time, and that is the Apostle Paul. And therefore, Titus welcomed the opportunity to carry out the request of the Apostle Paul and to do something totally apart from his spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Titus welcomed being a part of this unique administrative team to move this huge sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem. Titus knew that it would be very dangerous to move such a large sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem. Thousands of believers in Jerusalem were starving to death. So Titus welcomed the opportunity to move that large sum of money from Corinth to Jerusalem and save the lives of thousands of believers in Jerusalem. Because of maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, and totally understanding the doctrine of grace giving, Titus welcomed this opportunity. Now, Titus' volition was totally involved. He could say yes to the Apostle Paul or no. But Titus has genuine humility and the maximum respect for the Apostle Paul. So Titus gladly welcomed this opportunity, and he said, "Yes, sir, Paul, done deal." God's team functions on humility, authority orientation, and discipline. And Pastor Teacher Titus has maximum genuine humility, total authority orientation, and the most phenomenal self-discipline. Along with his brother Luke, they both have all of these virtues. Discipline and authority are a key part of the spiritual life and teamwork. And then we started to exegete verse 18. "And we have sent along with him his brother Luke." This administrative team then is made up of, first of all, Pastor Teacher Titus, and secondly, Luke, his brother, and third, an unknown believer. Titus is in charge of this operation. Titus was truly blessed to have his brother, Luke, as a key part of the team. Titus and Luke were on the exact same page doctrinally. They are both great winner believers. They thought divine viewpoint perfectly. They both understood that this is a once-in-a-lifetime operation. So with great genuine humility, Luke functioned under his brother Titus' authority and leadership. And there was no problems at all between them. So Luke is also a great winner believer in his own right. So we have, and we have sent along with him his brother Luke. And then we have whose praise is in the, this is, we always start with the King James, and it's, or sometimes I read the King James and I go, "What in the hell does that say?" Whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. We have the genitive singular, the relative pronoun host, plus epinos with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative singular of evangelion with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the genitive of plural of pos, and the genitive plural of ecclesia with the definite article. Now, the relative pronoun hos, H-O-S, and the relative pronoun always has an antecedent. The antecedent of the relative pronoun host is the Greek word adelphos, brother. In other words, Luke is the antecedent. So who is Luke, brother Luke? Whose, so we translate this, whose, and then we have epinos. E-P-A-I-N-O-S. Epinos. A couple of things. One, epinos means praise. It means approval. It means recognition. It means fame. Praise, approval, recognition, fame. Two, it means to recognize and render an honor to someone. To recognize and render an honor to someone. Three, therefore, epinos is an expression of approval. An expression of approval. So this says, Brother Luke, whose praise and fame, and then we have the word evangelion. E, U, A, when you got two gammas together, the first one you transliterate N, then G, E, L, I, O, N. Evangelion. Evangelion, well, actually, L, good, angelion, news. It's often translated gospel, but it's literally good news. And the gospel is good news. God's good news to mankind, the grace gospel. And then with the preposition and, it's in the things of the gospel. And then Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 178 says, the preposition dia plus the genitive has a special meaning here. Oftentimes, dia plus the genitive is instrumentality by means of. But A and G, page 178, says in our verse, it means throughout. Should be translated throughout. Throughout, and then we have pos means all. All what? All the, well, the plural of the noun ecclesia. Ecclesia, E-K-K-L, long E-S-I-A. That's the word for church. We have it in the plural, and we know when it's in the plural, it's local churches, in all the churches. So, and we have sent along with him, with Titus, his brother, Luke, whose praise and fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. Spread throughout all the churches. Everybody knows who Luke is. They learned Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Oh yeah, Luke. Everybody knows who Luke is. And we have sent along with him his brother Luke, whose praise and fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. All right, one. This is an amazing administrative team. The team is made up of three people on this team. First of all, the Apostle Paul's personal troubleshooter, Titus. this amazing administrative team made up of three people. First of all, the Apostle Paul's personal troubleshooter, Titus. Second, Titus's brother, Luke, whose fame and praise in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. Secondly, Titus's brother, Luke, whose fame and praise in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches. And third, member of this special team, an unknown believer, behind the scenes believer. And in local churches, there are always those administrators behind the scenes that are absolutely phenomenal. And we have behind the scenes administrators in Upland Bible Church, and I have the best of the best when it comes to deacons. They do a phenomenal job. And here were people that were experts on coming to fix the leak in the roof. They didn't want to even get out there in the rain and go up there. But Gary Brown was ready to get up there and let's get going on this thing. He had his pitchfork out and was going to get those guys up there. Point two. Wherever Luke has gone, he is recognized and honored as a faithful and gracious winner believer. Titus is a winner believer. Luke is a winner believer. And the behind the scenes unknown third member is also a winner believer. Three. Luke has received honest praise, genuine honor, and recognition as a faithful believer. Luke has received honest praise, genuine honor, and recognition as a faithful believer. This was a team. And one thing about a team, everybody's on the same page. You know, football, this would be when the number is the one on the snap. When that quarterback says, one, hut one, everybody moves together, everybody. Center, guards, tackles, ends, everybody. Not bump, 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 bump. No. Hot one. Boom! They're all out together as a team. That's teamwork. On the exact same page, working together as a team. Four, this team acted as trustees of this large, grace-giving sum of money. A grace gift. This was a large grace gift. We're going to see that. Elogia will be the word. This team acted as trustees of this Elogia, this bountiful grace gift, generous grace gift, to ensure complete propriety in the handling of it. This was a very generous grace gift from the believers in Corinth to the believers in Jerusalem. And this team, three-man team, worked together fantastically as trustees of this generous grace gift to ensure complete propriety in the handling of it. So verses 17 and 18 sounds like this. For not only on the one hand did he, Titus, welcome our appeal, but on the other hand, being very earnest from his own free will, He has moved out face to face with y'all. He, from his free will, said to the Apostle Paul, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." Verse 18, "And we have sent along with him his brother Luke, whose praise and fame in the things of the gospel has spread throughout all the churches." Now, verse 19. "And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches." Boy, that's a pretty lousy translation there. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the objective negative u with the neuter of the adjective monos, plus the conjunction Allah with chi, plus the aorist active participle of kerodoneo, plus the prepositional phrase hupa, plus the genitive plural of ekklesia with the definite article. All right, we start out post-positive conjunction de. D-E. Post-positive conjunction de. And this is a transitional de and may be translated and, moreover, then, or now. We're going to translate it and. And then we have the adjective monos. M-O-N-O-S. Now, monos, when it's in the form monos, then it is an adjective. But when it's in the neuter, monon, it switches from an adjective to an adverb. So, monos means only or alone. However, when monos is in the neuter, as it is in our verse, then it becomes an adverb. With the objective negative u, it's correctly translated not only this, but then we have Allah Kai, but also. Not only this, but also. Not only this, but also, and then the verb keroto-neo. This is quite a verb here. Now, I'm just going to put that much up here, first of all. This is one part of the word. Oh, come on. This is the word for hand, okay? Care is the word for hand. Now, so we have care, odoneo. So it's C-H-E-I-R-O-T-O-N-E-long-O. Care, odoneo. All right, couple of things. One, keroroneo is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, in our verse, 2 Corinthians 8:19, and in Acts 14:23. Two, keroroneo means to choose or to appoint. To choose or to appoint. But point three, notice though, how did they choose? With the hand. It means to choose or elect by the raising of hands. To choose or elect by the raising of hand. That's why we have keroroneo. Four, this is the election or selection of a person for a very special task. This is the election or selection of a person for a very special task. Five, the churches chose Luke to be a part of this administrative team. The churches chose Luke to be a part of this administrative team to take this generous grace offering of the believers in Corinth to Jerusalem. To take this gracious grace offering, grace giving of the believers in Corinth to Jerusalem. And then we have hupa ton ekklesion, this selection. Luke was appointed, selected by the churches. By the churches. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches, chosen, a special election, to be a special part of this administrative team. And then we have to travel with us with this grace. And I told you when we started on the key, you could grace giving, you want to get it down to one word, we have it right here. C-H-A-R-I-S. To travel with us with this grace. This is the noun sunek demos, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase soon, plus the dative singular of charis, with the definite article. That's it. That's the best way to describe grace giving, charis. Now the legalist doesn't understand that at all. The legalist never gives in grace. The legalist always gives with strings attached. The legalist always wants to tithe. Tithing is blasphemy. And I've had people come into this church and come up to me and want to tithe. Blasphemy. Tithing is not grace giving. There's nothing grace about tithing. Tithing is taxation. Has nothing to do with giving. Giving is grace, grace, grace. Legalism involved in tithing. And we got all these fundies wanting to tithe. And then they want to know, should I give 10% before taxes or after taxes? I said, well, I don't understand. You mean you're not being taxed enough? God has a fantastic principle. It's called grace giving. It has nothing at all to do with tithing. Nothing at all. That's blasphemy to even say that tithing is giving. It's not. That's legalism. And we got even there are very few grace believers in our nation. There's a lot of legalistic, self-righteous, jackass Christians in our country, but very few grace believers in our nation. And we have so many fundies that fall into this category. And they are 100% wrong. But they never studied the Bible anyway. They needed to be here in tonight's class. This place ought to be packed and upstairs and everything. But no. Everybody's got too many things, other things. It's raining too hard. I might get wet. Like, I can't go out. I might melt. Okay, then I think you ought to just stay home. And then, sunek demos. S-U-N-E-K-D, long E-M-O-S, soon ekdemos. Now, soon ekdemos is also only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, Acts 19:29 and our verse, 2 Corinthians 8:19. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It's not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. It's very likely that the Apostle Paul and his genius coined this phrase under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to record exactly what God the Holy Spirit wanted to be here. So one, soon ekdemos means a traveling companion. A traveling companion. Luke was a part of the Titus administrative team. Traveling companion, a key part of this administrative team. Two, Luke was a traveling companion with the genitive plural of ego, with us, Titus and his team. And then we have it. We have soon plus the dative of charis. S-U-N plus the dative of charis. With this grace. This is what it says. With this grace. And not only this, but also he, Luke, was appointed by the churches. They had a special election, the raising of hands. They elected Luke to be a part of this administrative team, to be our traveling companion, a part of this administrative team. With this grace. With this grace. That summarizes grace giving right there. With this grace, grace giving. And grace means free will. Grace means you have maximum grace orientation. You have maximum doctrinal orientation because of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. And because you've grown up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you understand that God's plan is grace, His will is grace, He operates and sets everything by His grace. Salvation is by grace, spirituality is by grace. And when you get that grace orientation, why, in your soul, you have this willingness, this great soul mental attitude, this great motivation to give in grace. It's the same motivation that in your soul for giving you capacity for life. It's the same thing of doctrine your soul that gives you capacity to love, and that gives you capacity for grace giving. And it's a mental attitude. There's no grudging attitude. There's no legalists or misers. They don't want to give anything to anybody. They're miserly. They give grudgingly. I don't even want to give. And I'll tell you right now, if you grudge giving, keep your damn money and don't give till you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You're not here to give. You're here to grow up spiritually in grace and truth. That's why you're here. You're not here to give. So hang on to your money. Hang on to your billfold, your purse. I hope you guys don't have a purse. But you're not here to give. You're here to grow up in grace and truth. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you ever get there, why, you will have this most fantastic mental attitude. You know God. You know He's the God of grace. You know that everything you have and all that you are because of the grace of God. You know that. It isn't because of who and what you are. It's who and what God is. And therefore, you never have a problem to give in grace wherever you go. Whether it's in a church and giving in an offering in a church, or whether it's helping other believers or helping anybody in giving. You do so with the greatest mental attitude, with great virtue love. You want to. And I've had so many times when I go out to a restaurant, and I have, Deb and I, we have our restaurants we like to go to. And I tip everybody. I tip everybody. And then they always say, oh, you don't have to do this. I said, I know I don't have to do it. I want to. I want to do this. I want to give you this. And whoever comes to the table, I tip all of them. Oh, you don't have to. I want to do this. It makes my heart happy when I do this. I love doing this. God has given to me in grace fantastically, and I appreciate it. And I love passing on that grace to others. I love it. And if you ever grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will too in your attitude as you go out, whether it's a restaurant or whatever it is. So, it just says, with this grace. And not only this, but also, he, Luke, was appointed by the churches, the raising of hands selection of Luke to be a part of this administrative team, to be our traveling companion, a part of this administration team, with this grace. With this grace, free will, grace giving. But it just says, charis, with this grace. And that's what grace giving is. It's just simply a manifestation of grace. And then we have, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. And that's where we're going to start next time. Which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.